But let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I wanted to look at this, and this is being rooted and grounded in Christ, or rooted and built up, or rooted in, maybe a better way to say it is rooted and built up in Christ. But 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us that it says, therefore, I'm reading from the King James, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is not going to become, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now listen to this in the Amplified. The Amplified translation says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature, a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. This is the Phillips translation. It says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. You get the picture. We're brand new. Your past has been done away with. The Living Bible, it says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So we have become a brand new person, and I like, Minister Joe probably could speak more to this, but I just go by what I know. But verse 20 of that chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then we are what? Ambassadors for a political party. No, it says we are an ambassador for Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead. And it says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we are a brand new person in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come, a new life has begun, and we are now ambassadors for Christ. That means my sustenance. You know anything about an ambassador, that when they live in that compound or whatever foreign country they're in, we're in a foreign country. This place is not our home, but that ambassador is protected and their sustenance comes from their home country. Where's our home? Heaven. We have a covenant with God through Christ and our sustenance comes from heaven. How do we receive it? By faith. So we are ambassadors for God. Glory to God. And we need to remind ourselves of that, that all that goes on in this earth, what is an ambassador? An ambassador, if you look that word up, it just says you're a representative. You represent Christ in everything you do. That's why when people, they go, oh, so you're that Christian, huh? Right, that's, you know how they do. Because all of a sudden, you're not, we don't want to be judged by the world, but you understand my point. Are you representing Christ in a way that when the world sees you, they go, well, that probably is the way Christ would be. You know, are we acting like the world? Are we fitting in and acting like them? Because that's what Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, 12:2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, in Christ, you're not just a forgiven sinner. In Christ, you're what? You're a brand new creature, a brand new creation. So the moment you accept Jesus, this is the point here, you have a whole brand new what? Identity. The minute you became a Christian, you have a new identity. And that is what? Tied and connected to what happened through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm identified by that now. So Galatians 2:20, these are familiar scriptures, says, I am crucified with Christ. See, this is my identification. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now I identify with Christ through his what? Death, burial, and resurrection. I identify with that. And you, what does the scripture say? It says that you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that you and that he was what? Raised from the dead. I like some of these other translations of Galatians 2:20. The Laubach translation says, Christ took me to the cross with him and I died there with him. I like this. This is called the distilled translation. It says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. I like that. Let me read that again. I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. That's what he's doing. He lives in me. He's using me. I asked him to come in. Glory to God. This is the Cressman translation. It says, I died when Christ died on the cross. I do not live now, but Christ lives in me. I died when he died. Glory to God. This is the Barclay translation. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. My own life is dead. It is Christ who lives in me. True, my physical life goes on, but its mainspring is faith in the Son of God. Glory to God. You know, something, when we talk about being engrafted into Christ, you know, if you know anything, I was around, my father went to Cornell University and graduated. My mother did also, but he graduated with a degree in horticulture. And so he learned the science behind certain things that you do with plants. And he was always grafting things and growing things. I grew up around it my whole life as a child. He'd get things and graft them, and he'd create things. And it was very interesting to watch. I didn't understand it, but later in life, and just more recently, I started reading up about grafting, and it's fascinating. Because grafting, you know, a lot of times we just take things for granted. We go to the store and we get fruits and we get vegetables and they look, and if it's got a little spot on it, we don't want to get it. So everything, I want to say it, looks the same. It's picture perfect when we get that fruit, that apple, that pear, whatever it is, or plum or lemon or whatever it is. Everything looks perfect to us. And the same with pecans or whatever it is that you're getting, almonds or whatever. But when they graft something, they take what's called the rootstock and they cut that off. If that thing, here's the thing, almost everything today is grafted. Because if you're a farmer and you want to grow something from a seedling, they say it's a, you know, they say it's a gamble because you may get a good crop of fruit from something or nuts or whatever it is you're growing, But when you graft something to, if you take what they call the upper part, they call it the S-C-I-O-N, the scion. And that's the upper part, the upper stock of that. That could possibly not bear, good fruit. But when you tie it and graft it to a root stock that has borne perfect fruit, the DNA changes. And it begins to change the fruit bearing of that tree. It bears what that root stock bears. In other words, the life of that upper branches comes from the what? The vine, the root stock. And it literally, they say, it literally changes the DNA of that plant. It now produces perfect whatever it is that you're growing. Well, if you just read up today, I saw something, I didn't know this. Now, maybe some of you knew this, I didn't. But Mark Hankins was sharing some things about how his grandchild had leukemia. And so they went through all the process. They were believing God, pleading the blood, but they also brought him through, and he had a bone marrow transplant. And he was having radiation and all of this stuff that was going on, right, and chemo. But he had a bone marrow transplant, and his brother had the perfect match. And so the doctor said to him, before they gave him the bone marrow implant, they said, say goodbye to your brother because he now becomes you. And I thought, really? So the recipient's DNA changes to become exactly like the donor. Oh. So when we became engrafted into Christ, our spiritual DNA changed. It's no longer I that live anymore. It's Him. He is in me. Oh my God. That's just a natural thing. But they said that now, when you go to the store and you pick up this fruit, they said, you can literally replicate perfect fruit. If you can get rootstock of perfect trees, perfect fruit, you cut that and you put other tops on it and you begin to replicate perfect fruit. What happens? The DNA changes of that plant. Oh. So I tell you, it's exciting to me that when we think about more and more, let's look at John 15. And this is a very familiar scripture verses here in John 15, these first 13 verses in the King James. But that's why I say, we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are in Christ. I'm a brand new person. I have His nature in me. His DNA, I've got His nature living in me now. Not my nature. John 15, starting in verse 1, what does it say? I am what? The true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every what? Branch in me. So He's the rootstock, we're the branch. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does He do? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it what? Abide in the vine. This is being engrafted to Him and staying connected. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And this is the part that always gets me. For without me, ye can what? Do nothing. So apart from him, we can do nothing. What does that mean? There's some scripture verses. This is the Phillips translation of verse 4 and 5. It says, you must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you. For just as the branch cannot bear any fruit unless it shares the life in the vine, of the vine, so you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. I am the vine itself, you are the branches. It is the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. For the plain fact is that apart from me, you can do nothing at all. This is the, this was a translation, the Passion Translation. This was great. So in verse 4 of John 15, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, listen to this, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Ooh. Ooh. It says, your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. What does that mean? That means no matter what path God directs you, you could go into the business world, you could be in the, you could own your own business, you could be a preacher or a minister, whatever calling you have, it says, unless you stay intimately connected with him, you won't be fruitful. That means fruitful in whatever God has called you into. So it's important for us to remember that it's not my doing, it's his doing, him working through me. Because he wants to get the glory. It's not how smart you are. He may gift you with intelligence and, you know, something between the ears. He may have gifted you with that. But you always have to remember, stay intimately in union with him so that he can do what? He can give you the wisdom and the life that will cause you to be what? Fruitful. Glory to God. Listen to this. This is the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians verse 1 and chapter 1 and verse 30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Now let's turn over. I want to look at Romans chapter 5 and the first five verses. Because this is really what I wanted to kind of land on today. That we're brand new creatures in Christ. We are connected to him through the vine, but something happened to us that should be evident in the earth, in the world. And Romans chapter 5, in these first five verses, really kind of begin to show us. We know the scripture says we've been translated out of, or we've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But here in Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified, or you could say made righteous or made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or you could say endurance. And patience experience, and experience hope. Now verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So this is what I was landing on here today. That God has given us a commandment to walk in love. Now you may not want to, or you may find it difficult to, but then it would be unjust or unfair for God to command us to do something without the ability to do it. So he has changed us, and what did he do? He literally shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost the love of God. Listen to some of these translations. I like this. This is the Jordan translation. It says, for God has given us a love transfusion. Oh, yes, sir. He's given us a love transfusion by the Holy Ghost of the Holy Spirit he provided us. The Blackwelder translation, it says, God's love has been poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. Glory to God. So he has affected or changed our hearts by his Spirit. So we have the ability to walk in love with people. It's just your flesh and your mind that takes offense to things and doesn't want to. But you can if you do what? Yield to him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3. And this is the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 14. And Paul is praying this prayer to the Father. It says here, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. But I like verse 17. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So what do we know? Galatians 5:6, it says, faith worketh by love. Love was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Listen to some of these other translations. The Living Bible It says in verse 17, "And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him." Now listen to this. "May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love." What's been shed abroad in our hearts? Love. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says that your faith may be rooted and built up. Your faith needs to grow down into the soil of God's love. This is God's word translation. It says, "Then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation." So I hope you're getting the picture here that we have a new identity. Our DNA has changed. Our spiritual DNA is love. God is love. God lives in us. Love lives in us. When the scripture says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world," that means greater is love that is in me than hate that's in the world. The love of God in me can overcome every obstacle that confronts me. Now, I didn't say it was pleasant to your flesh, your mind, all of that. You may be confronted with things that are hurtful or offensive. But this says here, we can overcome them through the love of God. And this is the one thing that is becoming more and more apparent. I mean, even if you go over into the book of Matthew in chapter 24, and what does it say? During the end times, what does it say? The things that will be lacking will be what? Love. And so we're going to have to develop that in us, because we're going to walk through some seasons that we're going to need to operate more in the love of God towards people. And I will say this, you know, we all want to minister to people. You know, that's our heart. But if you've got an attitude, it's going to be hard for God to operate through us with attitudes. We're going to have to keep our hearts clear of offense and clear of, "Oh, them folks." You know, what's going on right now? I mean, on the political side, the racial side, all of the stuff the devil is stirring up to do what? Create division, to create hate, to create separation, not unity. And so we need to keep in mind that God has put us in the earth here to reach people, and we're going to have to get this working in our hearts. This is the Passion Translation. This is in verse 20, it says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." Let's turn over to Colossians 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2 and 7. You know, when I think about certain things, you know, just in the area that I live, you know, I read the news and I watch the news just like you do. And down where we are, it's predominantly, I would say, in Rockland County, in the area that the church is probably the last census they did. It was about 30, almost 35%. It's growing and increasing, but it's about 35% Hasidim, or the ultra-conservative Jew. Very ultra-Orthodox. And there's a lot of stuff going on in Rockland County that if you're not careful with your thoughts and your attitudes, you can begin to think a certain kind of way towards that group of people, because they're already doing it. And the reason they're doing it is because, and I'll say this, right is right and wrong is wrong. And they're doing some things that aren't right. And they're trying to change the laws to do that. But while doing that, you can't have an attitude. You are what? An ambassador for Christ. And if you're going to reach people, you can't do it with a, as they say, a toed. You know, and I read some things the other day, you know, in Rockland County, you know, the governor has, you know, they're have created, there's these that they call them hot spots, you know, where some of these, the COVID virus has creeped up and popped up, and it is predominantly all in the Hasidim community because they refuse to wear masks. They're assembling and, you know, they have, and I'm nothing wrong with this, but they have weddings and funerals and they'll have 4,000 or 5,000 people gather. And it creates a problem. And a lot of people come from Brooklyn and they come up and then all of a sudden it's a problem. And so they refuse to obey the rules. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean that, you know, you don't want to end up having an attitude towards a group of people. You can't. You don't want to. You pray for people. And you pray that they see that God begins to work in those communities and pray. Because otherwise, we're no different than the world. We start running our mouth against a group of people. How can God work in us and through us? If we want to look at what love is, we'll go right over and say, well, how would God operate? God revealed how he would operate to Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. So just in real life experiences, whether it's, you know, whether people are coming against you because of the color of your skin or because of your ethnicity, whatever it is, you're going to have to learn to walk in love. Now, I didn't say it was easy, but we're going to have to develop this because this is the thing that's going to be the key in this end time that we're living in. But Colossians 2, in verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is the Amplified. It says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him. Be continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. You know, you think about the disciples and the apostles, all the adversity that they received, and you look at Paul and what did they do? They got put in prison and they were, you know, in the inner parts of that, and what did they do? He lifted up praises, and what happened? He could have been complaining and saying, what the heck, what am I doing in here? and complaining against God and complaining against the people. And what did he do? He began to praise God and thank God, and the prison doors were open. So we need to think about that, that when this, you know, when we face adversity in different seasons, we need to make sure that the roots, you know, when we talk about being rooted and grounded, the roots of a tree, where does that tree get its nourishment from? It gets it from the roots. And so as it, those roots go down further, then the branches shoot out up on the top. Why? Because they get their nourishment from that. And what happens, no matter what conditions that tree faces, it's getting its nourishment from what? The roots. So whatever the seasons that tree goes through, it's getting its nourishment from the roots. And it keeps it stable. That's what it, that's what that word being rooted means. It means to be firmly planted, steady, stable. Glory to God. Let's look at Colossians 3 and verses 1, 2, and 3. And when we talk about our identification being in Christ, in Colossians 3, in these first three verses, it says in the King James, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Listen to the Blackwelder translation. This is verse 3. It says, "For you died in your identification with his death, and your life, which is the result of his resurrection, is hidden with Christ in God." So our life is hidden and is a result of his resurrection. The Amplified in verse 3, it says, "For as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God." Glory to God. So we are a brand new creature in Christ, a brand new person, where the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the roots of our faith should go down deep into the soil of God's love. What does that do? Those roots, what does it say in Luke chapter 6, I believe it is? It talks about, "Let me show you a man who hears my word and obeys it, who dug down deep and built his house on a foundation, on the rock," right? So when the winds and the adversity of life came, it said that house stood, couldn't fall. So that's the same thing where us is concerned. When our faith, the roots of our faith, go down deep into the soil of God's love, those roots of our faith in his love hold us steady in life. Holds us steady in life. So we can, regardless of the stuff that's going on, we can hold steady. I'm just going to close. I'm going to read Psalm 1 because this is a good psalm to. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God. He habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree, firmly planted, or you could say rooted, and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. So when we meditate in the Word of God and let the roots of our faith grow down into the love of God, and we stay connected to the vine, everything we do shall prosper, as this says here, and come to maturity. Everything. No matter what endeavor God has called you to, you will prosper. But we're going to have to do what? Keep our minds on Him, keep our thoughts on the Lord, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways what? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So we need to do that in these times that we live. I mean, just when it looks tough and it looks like stuff is going upside down, you need to remember, no, this didn't take God by surprise. God doesn't change. Things change. I was reading this ministry that we support. He wrote this. They're in Australia. But he said, the Lord spoke this to him, and he said, it's the God things that stay the same during much change, and they bring about stability. God is the same. He will never change. God's word is the same. It will never change. God's character and His word can be trusted. The mission of the church hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. He will never change. The grace and the anointing of God haven't changed. Our daily walk still requires daily bread and the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit. The Word will always work if we will work it. Our influence as Christians will not change, and it's more important than it has ever been. And our influence as Christians, showing the love of God, showing concern and compassion for people, is more necessary now than ever. And the love of God has been shed abroad. We're His ambassadors, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Just keep reminding yourself, I'm His ambassador. I'm His representative. You know, I just close with this statement. You know, an ambassador never really, when he's in that foreign land, he never says, well, I'm not an ambassador today. He's always an ambassador until he's removed from that post, right? Or he steps down. He is always an ambassador. So as long as we're here in this earth, as long as we have breath, we are His what? We are His ambassador. So that means everything we do is a reflection of Him. What does an ambassador do? Somebody help me here, but not only are they representatives, but they are what? A voice for that country. Isn't that right? So that means I'm a voice for God here in this earth. So that means I shouldn't be expressing my attitudes about something. I should be expressing His thoughts, His ways, where people are concerned. I didn't say that was easy. We're going to miss it because this flesh sometimes gets in the way and gives us a hard time. But the more we stay rooted in Him, it'll get easier and easier. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you are greater in us. You are working in us and through us, Father, by your love and by your faith and by your spirit. And we commit to walk as ambassadors here in this earth. We commit to be good representatives and good ambassadors for you in here, in this earth. And we commit to walking in love towards the unlovely. And Father, we thank you. And if we don't have anything good to say, then we won't say anything. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we lift up those who are lost. And Father, we ask that you, the Lord of the harvest, would send laborers anointed with the love of God and the compassion of God to this lost and dying world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God. You know, I think about it, you know, that some of the, you know, we go on jobs, but I'm just thinking of, you know, the girls here, and they, you know, they're going into settings where there's such a diverse community of opinions and thoughts. It's a harvest field of opportunity to reach people with the good news of the gospel and to let God speak to you. Sometimes he'll just speak a word and say, do something for this person over here. You know, people won't give you all their business. They won't tell you everything that's going on, and there are people out there that are hurting. And they'll put a big smile on, but they're hurting. And they need to have the love of God and the comfort of God to let them know that, how did you know that? Well, God, you know, God told me to just bless you or do something nice to you. And sometimes it's just that that will turn the tide in somebody's life, to turn them in the direction towards God.